Hello, I'm Regina Zona, and this is True Confessions of a Still Fabulous Diva. This is my true confession. I am still a fabulous diva. I have been a diva for a very long time. Dictionary.com defines a diva as a distinguished female singer. I agree. Merriam-Webster defines diva as a usually glamorous and successful female performer or personality. That's me. Urban Dictionary defines diva as a fierce, often temperamental singer who comes correct. She is not a trick-ass hoe, and she does not sweat to haters. I guess that still could be me. So, for those of you who don't know how I became a diva, I wanted to share a little bit of my background. When I was young, I was trained as a pianist, and for the longest time, I was convinced that I wanted to become a concert pianist. The only little problem with that plan was that I really hated practicing, so that sort of derailed the whole idea from the start. So when I was a junior in high school, I had moved to a new school. I had never been singing up to that point, and so I started singing that year in the concert chorale. And the choral director said to my mother that I had a real talent and that I should start taking voice lessons. So the thing is that I was always able to imitate a voice of an opera singer. I could always get a lot of attention doing so. Anytime I wanted to impress the boys, I would pull out a very operatic, high version of the Hallelujah Chorus a la Maria Callas, and I did get a lot of attention. But when I started taking voice lessons, all of a sudden I started to realize that that fake opera voice that I always used was actually my real opera voice. So that same year, when I was a junior in high school, I got cast as Maria in West Side Story. And let me tell you, that's all I needed to solidify in my mind that the path that I had to take was to spend my life on the stage. I mean, like singing all these high notes, being overly dramatic, getting the last bow. I mean, honest to God, that was all that I needed. But ultimately, I realized that opera was where I belonged, and I decided to pursue that instead of musical theater. My voice was naturally mature beyond my years, and I was also instinctively dramatically inclined. Obviously, you can tell that that has stuck with me. So I achieved a lot of success throughout college, and just after graduation, I won lots of competitions. I beat a lot of opera singers that were older than me at that time, and I was lucky enough to get every opera audition that I applied for. And so after graduating from Northwestern University with my bachelor's, I took a year off to take voice lessons and then eventually auditioned for the Academy of Vocal Arts, a very prestigious opera program in Philadelphia. And I was actually accepted into their program on the day of my audition, which is pretty unheard of. So I had a modicum of success at AVA, and it was there that I branched out and really started my opera career. By the time I had left AVA, I had an agent and already had a few good contracts under my belt. I had a really nice career singing in regional houses at B and C companies. And the role that really put me on the map was the Queen of the Night. I sang the Queen of the Night all over the country and in a few places in Europe. And you know, truth be told, who says that I'm modest? I'm not that modest. I was a great Queen of the Night. My voice was big and I was dramatic and I was fearless. And really, those are the three qualities that you need to have to sing the Queen of the Night. So really, what is more diva than singing the Queen? Nothing. Nothing, I tell you, is more diva than singing the Queen. But eventually I got older, and as I got older, my voice started to change, as it does, and suddenly the Queen of the Night was not easy to sing anymore. And so at my last Queen of the Night, I actually got fired because my voice had changed and I really wasn't singing really well. And truth be told, getting fired derailed me a little bit. So I stopped singing for a couple of years, and I did a lot of odd jobs and projects that had nothing to do with singing. And I was teaching all throughout this period. And eventually I decided to go back to school to get my doctorate because I really needed to see if I could sing again. I mean, I went to get my doctorate because I knew that I was going to probably be teaching for the rest of my life. And I wanted to teach at the college level. And in order to teach at the college level, you need to have a doctorate. But ultimately, as I said, I really wanted to see if my voice could actually work and perhaps I could sing again after not having sung for a couple of years. And what I found out was that, yes, indeed, I could sing again. And actually, I was a lot better singer than I was when I was younger. But ultimately, I decided to start my academic career, and I taught voice and opera and musical theater and in two universities around the country. And then eventually, I realized that teaching in academia was killing my creative soul. I know that sounds a little dramatic, but it really was true. And as I was teaching, I also realized that my voice was growing and maturing, and all of a sudden, I was able to sing repertoire that I had never been able to sing before. And so what was really happening was that I had finally grown up, as one does, and all of a sudden, I was a completely different singer and artist than I was before. So after teaching in academia for about 8 years, I actually decided to quit. And I moved back to New York and decided that I had one last opportunity to try to make it as an opera singer. But I went into it with my eyes wide open. At that point, I was 43 years old. And I was trying to restart a career where young, pretty, and new is the only thing that they want. So I realized that it was going to be a really, really hard road to hoe. And that it was going to be difficult to just even try to get people to listen to me. But I was totally prepared. I was prepared for these people to say, girl, you know, it's really not worth trying. You're too old. But what ended up happening was I did go and I sang for some of these trusted experts that had known me way back when I was a younger singer and that they supported me then and were willing to hear me now. And while I was absolutely prepared for them to give me the honest truth, every single one of them said, you know what? You are at the prime of your singing. You have something to say. I really think that something is going to happen for you. So out of all of this, I'm prepared for them to say, you know, go and work at Starbucks. They're actually saying, no, you know what? You need to go out and you need to try this. And one of these people that said this to me was my former agent. He was incredibly complimentary, which, let me tell you, is saying a lot for this guy. This guy has always been brutally honest, which is one of the reasons that I wanted to go and hear what he had to say. But he stopped short of actually re-signing me to his roster. And he told me that he was really hesitant to sign an older singer because he had signed older singers in the past. and that he would put them up for big roles in these big houses, and the companies would tell him that they're not going to hire them, even though they're the best singers that they had heard, that they said that their audience only wanted young stars. But I kept on going. I knew this was a possibility, but the feedback that I was getting was positive. I knew it was a possibility, so I kept on going. I worked on my voice. I explored my repertoire. And finally, after 20 years, I figured out what I really did best. And I began to market myself in that specialty. I was singing better than I had ever sung in my life. And finally, it worked because I found an agent who was willing to sign me. He wasn't afraid of my age. In fact, he didn't care about my age. He wanted to exploit my age and my experience because I was a real artist. I was not one of those babies that had nothing to offer. But unfortunately, that relationship was short-lived. And that's a fun little story, which I will tell you in a future podcast episode. And ultimately, after that relationship ended, I decided that my operatic career was over. This is what I know for sure. Ageism sucks and makes no freaking sense. You know, I think back to who I was as a singer and a performer in my 20s when I had most of my success. And I tried to figure out what is so different about me as a performer now. I had a good voice. I still do. I was a pretty good actress. I'm much better now. I was fearless. That has changed. The older I've gotten, my insecurities sometimes have gotten the better of me. But I do have coping mechanisms that, you know, allow me to get through my fear. When I was a younger singer, anytime anyone would compliment me, they would always say things like, wow, your voice is so big, or wow, I can't believe that you can sing that high, or wow, you were so dramatic. But years later, I realized one thing. Never at any point in my early career did anybody ever tell me that my voice or my performance was beautiful. But I grew up. And as I grew up, I began to know myself, which is what happens when you grow up. You know, in your 20s, all you do is flit around trying to find yourself. You take risks without any fear of consequences. You're on a fast-moving train to somewhere, and sometimes you know where, and sometimes you don't. But in your 30s, all of a sudden, you start to slow down a bit. And, you know, it's no longer about the external stimulation that is the driving force in your life. But instead, you start to look inward and you try to figure it out and who you really are. So in my early 30s, I went through a bit of an existential crisis, which caused me to read a lot of self-help books. I love self-help books. I will talk about that in a future episode. And it forced me to sort of examine every part of my life. It forced me to examine myself, my relationships, my career. But after that, when I had done the work, I realized who I was. I realized what I believed. And the most important thing happened: that I allowed myself to become vulnerable. And that resulted in me being, besides, of course, naturally a more grounded person, but a more grounded singer and a more honest performer. And then there was the first time that someone actually told me that my performance was beautiful. And that was life-changing. So this bullshit about companies only wanting young performers who are not fully developed vocally, artistically, and emotionally, it makes no freaking sense. But this is our reality. And we can fight and rail against it, and we might chip away at the bias here and there. But in the end, we more mature performers, especially mature women, cannot force companies to hire us. And this is not just a performing arts problem. This happens all over in every single profession. Sometimes women were on the career track and then they took time off to have a family and now they want back into the career. Or sometimes people wake up and all of a sudden discover that they want something more in life and they need a change. And so they quit their job and they embark on a new journey. So where does that lead us? You know, it forces us fabulous and mature people to realize that we are now the masters of our own destiny. And if we want something to happen, we need to make it happen for ourselves. So ultimately, what does that mean? Well, it means that we are going to be the CEO, CFO, marketing director, sales director, secretary, intern, everything. We now run everything. And that was the hardest part for me to figure out. Because when I was younger and moving up, you know, I had people to rely on to help me through this journey. You know, there were people to help promote me and support me. There was my agent. There were people in companies that I worked for. There were my coaches and my teachers. Of course, I had to do most of the work. But the thing was that I never felt like I was in this alone. And that was the biggest thing about this stage in my life, that I really feel that I am alone. And in a way, that is the scariest part about it. But it is also empowering because I realize that I have the ultimate control of my destiny. And the amount that I put in is going to be the amount that I get out of it. So the first thing we have to do is we have to get clear about what we want. And sometimes that means altering our dreams a bit. I mean, I wanted to sing at the Met. That was the dream. That was the goal for the longest time. But that's no longer a realistic goal. And so what I had to figure out was why I had that goal in the first place and what part of that goal matters now. I originally wanted to sing at the Met because that was the ultimate dream that every young singer has, to sing at one of the most prestigious companies in the world. It was about the prestige and the fame. That's what we all want as kids, right? We want to be famous. I was a kid before social media could make you famous. We had to do it the hard way. But now I realize that the thing that matters most is that I want to sing and perform because I have something to say as an artist. And that doesn't have to happen at the Met. That can happen anywhere, and I can choose what I want to say and how to say it. And that's the thing. If we have done the work on ourselves, then we mature women really know what our values are, and most importantly, we know what we value. When we actually focus our goals on that value, then we have a deeper connection to our goals, and ultimately will be more successful at achieving them. So we've adjusted our goals, and now we have to take the steps necessary in order to put them into action. The other thing that age gives us is the wisdom to know that we can't do everything ourselves. And on top of that, if we are lucky, the wisdom gives us the confidence to ask for help. The one thing I have discovered about myself is that I am a very, very independent person, but I truly, truly thrive in a collaborative environment. The energy and the ideas of other people really excites me to move towards my goals and the goals of the team, the goals of other people around me. So finding people who are going to advise you and support you and even maybe want to work with you, that is going to be vitally important. And while you might be able to do it on your own, the journey will be so much more enjoyable and satisfying if you have people beside you while you go on the journey. The point is that while ageism is stupid and irrational prejudice that is prevalent in every faction of society, it doesn't have to define us. Instead, it forces us to embrace our own worth so that we can define ourselves. That's deep, right? So here's my inspiration for the week. From the idealist author Victoria Erickson, this sums up what I feel about aging. I love getting older. My understanding deepens. I can see what connects. I can weave stories of experience and apply them. I can integrate the lessons. Things simply become more and more fascinating. Beauty reveals itself in thousands of forms. And aren't we lucky that we get to experience that? Thanks so much for listening. I really am grateful for you for being part of this journey. Join me next week. My next confession is I have crippling self-doubt. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? And remember, the only response to the question, how are you, is fabulous.